The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Hallelujah. Lord. Yes.
Yes.
It's incredible. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see what time it is here. Hey, hallelujah. Praise God. No, it's... difficult, this part of it, because I want to make sure that, you know, we impart the proper word that God has presented for this morning. I'll tell you what we're going to do, guys. I'm going to share a quick word with everybody. Just set up the offering things back there. As we go out this morning, take care of that. You know, everyone in here understands our, not only our responsibility, but our privilege in giving. So we're just going to open that up, let you take care of it as you go out this morning. But right now, I got a few things that I want to share with you. You guys can all be dismissed. I don't know exactly how I'm going to do this, but I had a probably about an hour presentation that I'd already tried to condense to a half an hour, so I'm not sure what you're going to get, but I'm pretty sure that you're supposed to get something this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about traditions of men, because if we're not careful, as I mentioned this morning with our communion, it can just become a tradition of men. You know, we chose to have communion once a month. The Lord just left it open for us. He said, as often as you do it. There are denominations, my daughter's church in Texas, when we go there, every Sunday, they have communion. I'm not opposed to that. That's what they do. But it doesn't matter whether you have it every Sunday or you have it once a month or you do it once or twice a year. It can become a tradition that we just go through the motions doing without really thinking about and recognizing what it is that we're supposed to glean from this and how we're supposed to step back and look at it. Every time we do it, we remember what Jesus did for us. We see that the power that is in this thing that he did, because it's our redemption. It's our power. It's the blood. The power is in the blood. We know that. It's what set us free. In Mark chapter 7, verse 8, Jesus said, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do." He was talking to the Pharisees because they were giving him a hard time about doing something that they thought was against the law, and it was really against their tradition, not against the law. And Jesus makes it perfectly clear to them, your religious celebrations are not that important. They had built a whole lifestyle, a whole religious system on their religious systems on a regular basis that they participated in. And they thought that they were pleasing God or getting close to God through their religious orders each and every week and day. They even fasted often, but they did it not to please God so much, but to try to gain their salvation. And Jesus was trying to make it very clear to them. All these things are just, they're ridiculous. You cannot please God this way. Now, we're coming up on Easter. Of course, this week is a very important time for many churches. Some churches start clear on Thursday with celebrations. Go through Good Friday and then Sunday morning with the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And there's a lot of tradition that is built around Easter. You know, even the fact that we call it Easter is a man-made tradition. It's actually resurrection. That's what we're celebrating, is the resurrection of Jesus. The Easter comes from the pagan god, the Babylonian god Ishtar, which is the fertility god, which the legend is that she came down from whatever heaven, we know it wasn't the heaven of God, turned into a bird, and then turned into a rabbit, and hopped around. And the eggs that are collared, the legend goes back, clear back to this. The eggs were eggs that were collared with the blood of children that were sacrificed to the goddess. Isn't that awesome? I want you to think about that when you when you do that with your kids. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not saying that you're going to go to hell for coloring eggs. In fact, I believe there's a lot of things that we do that are probably a lot worse than just coloring an Easter egg. However, I want you to have some understanding and some background about these traditions that we have in our society. I want you to see, I want you to understand this morning that this thing we call Easter, which is actually resurrection, if we're not careful, we will convince our children that there is an Easter bunny. It goes even further beyond that. There's an Easter bunny. There's a tooth fairy. There's a jolly old guy called Santa Claus. And then we throw Jesus in there. And our children get confused because three of those fables, and that's what they are just fables. We are just basically, we think that we're just playing games with them. We're lying to them about what is real. And then they see Jesus and they wonder, is he real? Now, we allowed our kids to hunt Easter eggs and have Easter baskets. I'm not opposed to any of that stuff. What I want to make sure that we all understand is, let's make it clear to our children that we're just playing games. The only real person to put your faith in is Jesus. Besides, when I give my kids something for Easter, I don't want a rabbit to get the credit for it.
That's right.
A furry little bunny.
That's right.
I do it because I love them. I give them gifts at Christmas because I love them, and I want to give gifts. And my Heavenly Father gave the ultimate gift, His Son. Traditions of men. How many have some traditions that you think are important around Easter time? You have dinners together? Yeah? Good. This family time? Church service? You know, a lot of times families come together for church. Or church, and sometimes it's the only time of year that some of our family comes to church. Is it Easter? You know? Thank God we're getting them in here.
That's right.
You know? I can guarantee you I'm going to tell them about Jesus if they come Easter. That, you know, we have an opportunity. We're not going to waste it.
That's right.
Amen? Tradition is something that we have to embrace and reject at the same time. It's sort of like the old Jewish fable about our children. Proverb, it says, with your left hand you push them away, with your right hand you pull them to you. In other words, there's a balance that has to take place. You have to know when you push them away. You have to know when it's appropriate to draw them close. Otherwise, if we push them away, we'll affect them for the rest of their life in every area. If we draw them too close, we'll make a bunch of wimps out of our children. They can't stand on their own. They always need their parents to take care of them. Amen. Some of you don't like this message very much, do you? Our God is a good God, and He has promised us, He's given us traditions that we can establish in our lives that are extremely important, and we need to embrace them and hold on to them. The tradition of coming to church with your family on Easter or Resurrection Sunday is awesome. You know, many churches have sunrise service, have an early service. We will be having an early service. It's not sunrise. I decided many years ago that I don't like getting up for sunrise. So we're going to have an early service. Believe me, I made a lot of people mad with that one. You know, one of the things that people participate in is Lent. I don't know if anybody participates in Lent in here. It's okay if you do. It's not in liturgical churches. It's sort of a mandate that you participate in it. But for those of us who are free in Christ, we don't believe you have to participate in anything other than what God tells you that you're supposed to participate in. And Lent is just a time of preparation and getting ready for the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. It's 40 days of prayer and fasting prior to the Resurrection Sunday. However, many people participate in Lent that really don't have the relationship with the Lord. They just do it because it's a religious thing that they've done all their life. We need to be extremely careful with how we approach these traditions that we have in our life. This is an important, you know, if you are doing it with the right attitude and you're seeking the Lord, do it. By all means, follow the Lord. But know that your traditions are impacting your children. And that's really what I want to share with you this morning is that whatever traditions we have, it's going to impact our children. My dad set a tradition in our household of reading the Bible. And, you know, it was a tradition that he did that. He read it to us. He would sit around and read it. It was part of his life. Those kind of things are a tradition. You set up that tradition. Having family time where you sit around, you sit down at your table and you pray, that's a godly tradition. You know, sometimes our prayers when we have meals are short and sweet. Thank you for this food. Amen. Let's eat. You know? Come on, let's get real with each other. We're about getting some food in our stomach sometimes. But, you know, if we establish such traditions of praying with our children before they go to bed, reading Bible stories. We did our very best when our kids were being raised to establish those type of traditions because we knew it was going to impact our children for not only them, but our grandchildren and children and their children, as you establish godly traditions. Hold on, establish, set those things up. Recognize the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I once read about a rabbi who was traveling on a train with his family. As they were traveling across country, they were going on a vacation together, and he was sitting beside another gentleman, and they were having a conversation. And in their conversation, the rabbi, he was an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and the rabbi found out that this guy sitting beside him was an atheist. And they were having a, you know, civil conversation about their beliefs. And one of the things that kept happening all the time they were traveling was that the rabbi's children and grandchildren kept coming up to him and asking him if he needed something, if he had any needs and anything they could do for him. And before they got off the train, the atheist made a comment to the rabbi. He said, "You know, I noticed that your children and grandchildren have great respect for you. My children and my grandchildren could care less that I'm alive. I don't get any respect." And the rabbi said, "Well, there's a good reason for that. You see, in my household, in my tradition, in my religion, I'm just one step closer to God and the founding fathers. In your household, in your tradition, you're just one step closer to an ape." That's a pretty hard word, isn't it? But it's reality. What are we teaching our children? What are they learning from us? Not just from the things that we say to them, but the lifestyle that we have. I want my children to know that they can have that relationship with the Lord. Direct, absolute relationship. I'm going to look at my phone here real quick. I want to see the time. It's 12 o'clock. Amen. I had a lot of things I wanted to share with you this morning. But I think the most important thing that I want to share is the reality of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this time of year, as we worship, as we look to the resurrection, that we point our families, may not even be those living with us, at parents or brothers and sisters, that we always point them to the true meaning of this season. That we help them to see that Jesus is the answer for all things. His death. We're celebrating His death at this time of year. He came. The exciting thing about this is that He fulfilled God's laws and God's moedim, God's feasts. He came. He was born. He walked this earth. He did miracles. And then He began, at the end of His life, He began to fulfill the feasts of the Lord. He died on Passover. And Passover took place during unleavened bread. And unleavened bread, of course, no leaven in the bread means without sin. So Jesus died on Passover without sin. And then, 4 days later, He came back to life on the Feast of First Fruits. This is an incredible fulfillment of God's prophetic word. That Jesus was going to come. He's going to fulfill. And He was going to help establish tradition that we could hold on to. And it's been 2,000 years now. And those same traditions that was started in the early church are today still recognized as reality because they're real. It's not just some religious order, a religious following. It's all about this relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me this morning.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.